This is an excerpt of a message from Jacob's Well, Minneapolis. You can hear other excerpts, leftovers, and full messages on our podcast channel. We're committed to conversations that matter. Thanks for listening and sharing.
So here's the deal. Jesus was a special child. And there's a part of that we like, and there's a part of that we don't like. And I don't care who you are or how spiritual you are, there is a part of Jesus that you like, and there's parts that you don't like. And guess what? You don't really get to choose. That's what we've got, the whole Jesus, or none of him. Now, I'm not trying to take away the fun and the beautiful part of Christmas. I'm not trying to take away the wonder of Christmas. That is still there. It's essential. But what I'm trying to say is we don't actually lose that wonder when we take all of Christmas, when we hold on to the whole message of Christmas, when we take on the whole person of Jesus, we actually find that it gets better. We actually find that Christmas doesn't have to just be a blip on our calendars, after which we just go back to, you know, life by default, which was kind of miserable, or just it is. But it can actually breathe life into every day in a way where we get changed, where the world is more what we want. So Christmas isn't only about charm, it's about change. I don't know if you're a fan of change or not. So I dare us to enter into this holy place of Christmas and see the child for who he is and look out, because things start changing. And if they don't, it means that you just turn Christmas into just another holiday, not holy day. And that's too bad. It's too bad. We get this promise. Mary's reflecting on Jesus before he's born, and at least the way that this, you know, the Bible tells a story. She has a sense of what's going on, talking about what God is doing to this child that is going to be born. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. Look at this picture. What do you see there? If you've been watching any news at all for the last several months, you probably see some familiar faces. So you've got 25 powerful men who have been accused of sexual harassment or assault recently. What you don't see there is a sea of other men who have also been part of this objectivization and mistreatment of women, what is often called our rape culture. What you also don't see there is half of our population who has had their lives, both personal and professional, shaped by this condoned part of our society, which should never have been there in the first place. Our society has been pregnant with this tension of inequality and abuse for far too long, and now its birth in these last few months has been messy. Not everyone is so happy about it. There's a lot of talk about some good people getting swept up in this flurry of accusations and of truth-telling. A sensitivity of sexual appropriateness has been born, and let's face it, it is long, long, long overdue. Can I get an amen to that? I'm going to turn you guys into Southern Baptists yet. You know, a similar story could be told about people of color, about immigrants, about our LGBTQ world, about people with mental health, about the elderly. In fact, those stories are being told, but right now the real focus is on what we have been doing to women for generations and generations. And this is on your outline, but here's where I want to go with this. The question isn't, have I contributed to this current climate of rape culture or sexual appropriateness or not? That is not the question. Have you done that or not? The question is, how have you contributed to it? We do not need a yes and a no from each person. What we need is for all of us to see how we have been part of this inhumanity that has been perpetrated, so that we can find ways of being about or being alive in this world in ways that are not part of that, and can help a new world be born. They can be part of the change that God came to this world to make happen. And as a community that isn't afraid of hard questions, and I really hope you feel this is true for you, that you do not have to pretend that you are perfect in order to be here, but that you have an appetite for growth, no matter what that means you have to face in yourself, and how long you see the journey, or how far you see yourself off of the trail of that journey or not, if you see yourselves, then this is something that we can do. We can each own our parts of the victimization of women and try to have a different future for each other and within ourselves. Now, I can only speak for myself. I have always tried to honor the lines of sexual appropriateness, and I hope that if women or other people feel that at times that I do not, I hope that you tell me, okay? I hope that you tell me. I also know that I have been complicit in perpetuating a culture that has tolerated and even promoted the behavior that has gotten those 25 men into trouble and probably lots and lots of other people that aren't in that picture. And I can own that. I want to be a part of the world, of this coming world where God's love is known and not suppressed. Even though it is not comfortable, even though it sometimes doesn't feel like it's fair to all those who have perpetrated, again, I just think we have to face it. It hasn't been fair to the victims of it for so long. That's sort of how it happens when the tables get turned. And we can do that together, okay? So I bring this up. I bring this up for two reasons. One is, to not talk about it is like too big of an elephant in the room. Now, you know, I'm looking kind of back up there in that corner. There is room. We could probably get a pretty good-sized elephant back up there. But let's not do that, okay? Let's get the elephants out of the room. Let's talk about them. Let's be real. So second is that this is what Christmas is all about. Really, you say? And I say, yeah, really, seriously. This is what Christmas is all about. This special child, Jesus, is special not because he is so cute. You know, we have these classic pictures. Oh, Jesus. You know, everybody coming around adoring this beautiful Caucasian glowing baby who is born looking like he's 9 months old. He is not a special child because he's so cute and beautiful and amazing in that way. We do it because he is remaking the world. He holds promise. He holds hope. All right? He shakes up what isn't working in our world. He starts to tear down the stuff that makes us less than human, that sacrifices our identity, our wonder, our beauty for the things that don't really matter, that we use to prop up our egos and our bank accounts, and they leave us empty in the end. And it's no secret. It is no secret that kind of change, when it happens in our world, even though it is for the better, there are a lot of people who get their undies in a bunch because of it. Why? Because all of us have a stake in the world the way it is. There's parts about our identity. There's parts about our mindset. There's parts about our lifestyle that depend on tomorrow being a lot like yesterday. And for us to make that switch, even though we know it is for good, that's hard. It sometimes means we have to go to a back seat for a while we're in the front seat and find a way what the front seat might really be about and what it might be like to take that and to inhabit that and to be a leader in that kind of a world. Or to find that maybe I don't need to be the leader in the world anymore. That kind of change is hard and asks us to do tough stuff. So because of that, Jesus fights an uphill battle to go from the manger to the man. And Christmas, well, let's face it, Christmas is better kept nostalgic, harmless. Make me happy, don't change me. Just give me snow and sleigh bells, and I'm okay. We can do better. We can do better. I think that's why you're here.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we're adding value to your life, we'd appreciate your support of our work so that we can engage more people in conversations that matter. You can do that at jacobs-well.net/give. We'd also love to have you join with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. We gather in the Field Community School Commons at 4645 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis, Minnesota. There are opportunities for your children of all ages as well. Learn more by searching Jacobs Well Minneapolis in your browser.